this morning. I'm going to read one sentence to you that if you forget everything else, I would suggest this might be worth at least remembering the, if not the exact wording, at least the intent. It's from a book called The Splash of Words, Believing in Poetry by Mark Oakley, who is an Anglican clergy person. He writes, "We spend a lot of time asking whether the Bible is true and miss the fact that the Bible texts are often asking us, are you true? Is the Bible true or are we true?" I mentioned a few moments ago that I had the delight of joining you, meeting you some 7 years ago. And a lot of that time, I know we were literally 60 miles away, at least as geography goes, but we still persevered, and give thanks to God for that. But I also would be lax if I didn't remember that today, at least in American culture, is Father's Day, is it not? And so I'm gonna quote from, or share with you very quickly, a few words, if you will, from one of my favorite theologians, Calvin and Hobbes. My other favorite theologians, by the way, is Linus from the Charlie Brown series. But I think you're all familiar with Calvin and Hobbes. Hobbes, the imaginary tiger. Calvin, the boy. Calvin sits there with his friend Hobbes and says, "For school, we're supposed to write a paragraph about what our dads do." So Hobbes picks up the paper and he looks at it, he reads, "Dad, the paragraph." Calvin says, "Catchy title, huh?" Hobbes continues, "What does my dad do? Mostly he gets on my nerves." The end. Hobbes looks at him and says, "You may get a point for succinctness." And Calvin responds, "Well, what else is there to say? Get on nerves." And I also know that at least a few of you in here that were not fathers last time I was here, but are now. So you're starting to get it. And trust me, it continues. And I'm preaching to the choir, literally, when it comes to parenthood. And we had Mother's Day just a few weeks ago. So regardless of what relationships we had with our those who gave us life, let us continue in some way to hold them in our hearts, even as I believe on some level they continue to hold us in their hearts. But what I want to talk about briefly today is, again, not the details of those texts, that Genesis reading about Abraham and Sarah, Hagar and Ishmael, and what was to transpire, other than to mention that from that story, probably all of you know that Ishmael, at least in Muslim tradition, was one of the foundations of Muslim religion. And it was the story that we tell of Abraham and Isaac and ready to sacrifice Isaac is told in the Quran with Abraham getting ready to sacrifice Ishmael and not doing so. But I say that too because we take these texts and we read them differently, do we not? It's pretty hard to hear those gospel sayings and try to make sense of them, especially if we sit next to a father or a mother or a child. And I would say, and I don't think I'm exaggerating at all, we live in a time right now where perhaps, at least for political reasons, there's much more of that father against son, child against parent, et cetera. And so it is a lived reality. But the words that we hear are more than just history. In fact, maybe not history at all, or maybe not history as we understand it. So back 7 years ago, 6 years ago, one of the things that I was able to do with you and enjoyed doing with you is we would get together online weekly or so and read books together, read theology books together and discuss them. And I mentioned that because one of those books, and it's a book that I know at least a couple of you told me was very important to you, was written by a theologian by the name of Marcus Borg. And it was entitled Convictions. And the subtitle was How I Understand or Understood What Really Matters Most. And Marcus Borg, as he got toward the end of his life, kind of talked about his faith development and how his thinking on so many levels had changed. And this is a man whose life had been given up to biblical scholarship, and yet he wrestled with these texts, knew them more intimately than any of us ever will, and yet arrived at a place that I think is helpful for us. And one of the things that eventually occurred was increasingly, not just him, but other theologians to this day and going forward, wrestle not with the text because, again, of the, you know, the exact details, but because of the underlying themes and messages. And the similarity cannot be exaggerated to say that Scripture in some way is poetry. Poetry. Not poetry as we maybe, first learned about it in elementary school, but poetry on a deeper level. And so I want to just share with you a couple of words, again, from a book that takes this very seriously. And I mentioned that Marcus Borg is deceased, but his wife, Marion, who is also a scholar in her own right, continues to share his work, continues to build on his work. And increasingly, and you're going to hear this, trust me, in the future, one of the new themes, if you will, one of the new ways of doing theology is called theopoetics, theology and poetry together, and how we can draw truth in a different way from them. So very quickly, Mark Oakley writes, the centuries and today have been anything but poetic. Christianity has a reputation in some parts for being very literalist in its reading that the library of extraordinary texts known as the Bible and its historic creeds. It's when religion becomes literalistic that the troubles usually begin. Don't they? Think about people arguing about the same texts. It is when religion becomes literalistic that troubles usually begin, including the physical or spiritual violence that is frighteningly able to self-justify. To take the Bible seriously does not mean shrinking into your own particular system of thinking about God, others, and yourself. To take the Bible really seriously means engaging with the variety of its texts, its history, the culture, the interpretive and ethical questions that need addressing, as well as the similar questions they ask. It is to invite the comforts and unease of their inspiration, open-endedness and teasing of human pride. Again, we mustn't close down the conversation with the text. We spend a lot of time asking whether the Bible is true and miss the fact that the biblical texts are often asking us, are you true? This is the real question that readers of the Bible should face, for others are a distraction. And it is posed time and again through the various literary and historically shaped genres of biblical history. Is the Bible true or are we true? The texts that we are given speak hard truths, but again, we need to dig deeper. We have to understand that, yes, people are going to take those words of Jesus seriously, but we can never ever lose sight of the deeper call to be one, to understand that Yes, we have differences. Yes, we have to continue to struggle with them, to try to find as much as possible humane answers to them. Never lose sight of our shared humanity, regardless of where, how we come together. I mentioned 2 weeks ago, and you'll probably see her again. Hint, hint. Mary Oliver, the poet. I want to share with you just, again, one simple poem, if you will. But I would, with all my heart, believe that these words here, in a sense, speak every bit as strongly as Scripture. This is the poem Logos by Mary Oliver. Why wonder about the loaves and the fishes? If you say the right words, the wine expands. If you say them with love and felt felicity of that love and the felt necessity of that love, the fish explode into many. Imagine him speaking. And don't worry about what is reality or what is plain or what is mysterious. If you were there, it was all those things. If you can imagine it, it is all those things. Eat, drink, be happy. Accept the miracle. And accept, too, every spoken word spoken with love. Accept to every spoken word spoken with love. Let us continue to strive always to speak with love. And by the way, happy Father's Day.